Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Well, over the next few podcasts, we are going to be listening to excerpts from sermons that were ministered in our church, the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, in the month of January of 2006. These messages came by revelation of the Lord, inspired by a prophetic utterance that I gave in our church. And we want you to sit back and listen and be blessed by these sermons called The Fix. On Sunday morning, December 18th, I spoke prophetically before the congregation. And this is what was said: 2006 is the year for the fix. 2006 is the year for the fix. So last week I began to meditate on that, and on Tuesday evening, December 26th, no, actually been the 27th, Tuesday evening the 27th, the Lord began to deal with my spirit on the subject of the fix. The fix, F-I-X, the fix. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines fix this way: to make firm, stable, or stationary. To make firm, stable, or stationary. So I could say 2006 is the year to make firm, stable, or stationary. It means to give a permanent or final form to. Oh my God. So I could say 2006 is the year to give a permanent or final form to. It means to change into a stable compound or available form. It means to set or place definitely to establish. This year, according to what the Lord said by the anointing of His Spirit prophetically, is the year to establish. It means, and my ears perked up when I saw this, my eyes got excited when I saw this in Webster's dictionary, it means to set in order. To set in order. My ears perked up because we were with family members who are really facing some difficult times this weekend. And we began to share the word. And they're people of the word. But sometimes you need to hear somebody else exhort you with the word of God. And Rachel and I began to exhort them with the word of God. And as I said, they know the word. But the word is the only thing that's going to change anything. And so here we are in the living room, and we stayed and we exhorted the word to God together till 2 o'clock in the morning to, you know, say, we're with you. We're with you in this situation. And Rachel began to talk about my sermon out of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And she began to preach my sermon, and I sat back and said, she listened to what the preacher said. And she began to preach. She began to say about how God set things in order for Elijah. And so she had just said that 2 days before. I know it, you know, but I was glad to hear her say it. And I told her, I said, she listened. Glory to God. She listened. She took notes. And so when I saw Merriam-Webster's, it said to set in order, to adjust. I really like that. 2006 is the year for adjustments. Those things that need to be adjusted, glory to God, God's going to adjust them. It means to get ready. Fix does, to get ready. 2006 is the year to get ready. It also means to prepare. It means to repair. It means to mend. It means to restore. And it means to cure. So when we're talking about fixing, glory to God, we're talking about making firm, stable, or stationary, to give a permanent or final form to change into a stable compound or available form, to set or place definitely, to establish, to set in order, to adjust, to get ready, to prepare, to repair, to mend, to restore, to cure. Well, this is the year. This is the year. Glory to God. This could be the year we see Jesus come back. This could be the year. And with what we taught in September and October about this, glory to God, being that time of time compression, things are going to get done quickly in this. This is the year for fixing stuff up. Amen. Fixing stuff up. You think home mortgages are a problem for God? Oh, brother. Hallelujah. Now, I've just used part of the definition that Merriam-Webster gives, the part that's applicable to our study. But that right there is pretty good. Amen. Now, I got down, as I said, to set in order. And the Holy Ghost brought up inside of me what I had taught many months ago, even probably 3 or 4 years ago, on God setting things in order. Praise the Lord. And it took me to 1 Kings. But let me go through this again before we get to 1 Kings. 2006 is the year for the fix. It is the year to make firm, stable, and stationary, to give a permanent or final form to set or place definitely, to establish, to set in order, adjust, get ready, prepare, repair, mend, restore, and cure. It's going to be a good year. And these are things, my sister, that I can live with. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings, if you would, please. Chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. It will take more than 1 week to finish this. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 8, but the study is going to require us even to go back to verse 1, but we're going to start at verse 8 because we want to see this one set of words. And the word of the Lord came unto him, this is Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So let me give a brief amount of history. Elijah has just fallen on his face before God and prayed. And he prayed into the earth the judgments of the Lord. And the judgments of the Lord were this, that the water ceased from falling from heaven, the rain ceased. And at the end of 3.5 years, now we're getting into this 3.5 years of no rain. What happens with no rain? There are no crops. Things begin to dry up. Things begin to vanish off of the face of the earth. And so it came to a time that there was not any food left for even Elijah. And God is saying to him, Elijah, go to Zarephath. In the New Testament, Sarepta. Go to Zarephath. And in Zarephath, there is a woman there that I have commanded. Now, you can find as you read on down that it doesn't seem like this woman has heard anything from God about this command that supposedly went forth. So years ago, I began to study because I wanted to find out, because she didn't seem to know he was coming and God said that she had been commanded. And I found out in the Strong's Concordance that the word commanded comes from the Hebrew word zava. And zava means this, to put or to set in order, to set in order. So it'll give you a little different view of the word commanded. It's not command like we think of command. It means God said there in Zarephath, I have set in order a woman to take care of you and to feed you. Set in order. I don't know about you, but it reminds me of when I was a child. Mom had these little canisters, containers for all of her kitchen things for cooking. She had the flour container, she had the sugar container, she had the coffee container, and had all this, and it started out in a big container and it went down to a small container. And when things were in order, they went from large to small. Things were in order. Things were placed in order. That's what I see with God. God said to Elijah, Elijah, I have set in order a woman. In other words, God said, this takes place, and then this will take place, and this will take place, and this will take place, and this will take place. And at the end of these taking places, you are going to be provided for. God is out there moving on behalf of Elijah to put things in order. Now, our study is going to take us through the events of God providing for Elijah. Most of our studies in times past have been God using Elijah to provide by God's power for others. But this is going to be Elijah receiving from God. God setting things in order for Elijah. Why? Because James, the 5th chapter, says concerning Elijah that he was a man of like passions as we are. He was just like us when it came to his emotions, the things that he dealt with in his life. So we want to look. If God will do certain things and set things in order for Elijah, God will set things in order for us. That's the fix. Amen. Things aren't going to be fixed until God gets involved and puts things in order. You know, you can take a puzzle and you have all the necessary parts to make a beautiful picture. But until you put them in order, it's a mess. But the purpose is that the purchaser of the puzzle put them out on a tabletop or a flat surface of some kind and begin to set them in order. And when all of those parts that have been available are set in order, you have a pretty picture. My dad is a puzzle putter together. He puts puzzles together and then he puts them, adheres them to a flat surface and makes pictures out of them and stores them. He doesn't just tear them up, he stores them. We were in a store in Branson the other day, and I saw a puzzle with a John Deere tractor on it. I said, well, that's Dad. He got to have it. Puzzle and tractor equals Bob. That's it. Our lives, many times, have all of the parts necessary to make something really beautiful and useful. It just takes the master's hand to set them in order. There was everything available for Elijah. God just needed to set them in order for him to receive. But in the process, somebody else was blessed also. God must set things in order for our fix to come. And that's where we're going to spend our time together. So this scripture is what set me on my course of study. We're going to look at three items that God set in order for Elijah and his life so that it would be prepared, repaired, mended, and restored. Two of those times, Elijah was going about doing what the Lord said to do. Here's the good news. He was involved in exactly what God wanted him to be involved in, and God set in order. One time, he was moving around in depression and discouragement. And God set his life in order. So it wasn't only the best of times when God moved for him. It was the worst of time when God moved for him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's just do a basic outline before we get into each one of them. Number one, we find in 1 Kings 17:1. Because Elijah is going to be our guide. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Now we found out again in James 5 that the continual heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And it tells us that he just not only spoke a word, that he actually supplicated. He got down and prayed again and again and again and again. He prayed and God stopped the rain. It takes prayer to get God's judgment into the earth. But let me tell you what, it's God's judgment coming into the earth that causes things to be put in order. And we'll look at that over the next couple of weeks. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That word commanded, again, is our word tzavah, and it means to put, to set in order. It means to fix. In light of what we're studying from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. So God set in order, notice what it says, set in order the ravens to feed thee there. So now, the first thing is God set in order the ravens. The second thing is God set in order a widow. But God is out here putting things in order, setting things in order to provide for Elijah and to fix things in his life. So now the number two we said is the widow at Zarephath. We won't go back and read her now. Number three we find in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Again, when I got on to Elijah and God providing and setting things in order for Elijah, I found that there were three places that God provided supernaturally by supernatural intervention for Elijah. The first, the raven, the second, the widow, and the third here. Except the third one presented a problem to me. In that it wasn't worded the same way. But we'll look at that in just a second. Notice what it says here in chapter 19. We know that Jezebel is chasing Elijah and has said that she's going to do away with him. And Elijah says in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Let me put that in Oklahoman for you. I've had enough of it. It's not the best of times for him. He's just got through going through a great victory. Now he's found him a little juniper tree and he's climbed underneath it and he's saying, I've had enough. No more. Enough means I don't want any more of it. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Just kill me. Just kill me. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Now, these are the three instances I've taken. I took number one, the raven fed him. The widow fed him. Now an angel's feeding him. These are the three instances. And I said, now, Lord, I know that if you're leading me in this way, that the same thing that you set in order will be able to be applied to this as the first two. That's the way God works. I am helping you here. It was late in the night. I said, well, I don't have the revelation on this. I'm going to go up and go to sleep. So I was in bed. I got in bed. And before I close my eyes for the final time during the day, I start with Psalm 91. And I speak Psalm 91 over myself, over my wife, over you, over the church, over all of our possessions. You are, and my wife, my stuff, you, the church stuff, that's the last thing on my mind before I go to sleep at night. And I start out, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And I get down to where it says, he shall give his angels charge over thee. And the Spirit of the Lord stopped me, interrupted me. He said, that word charge is the same Hebrew word. I said, say what? I'm not sleepy anymore. He stopped me right now. He says, it's the same Hebrew word. Well, I didn't know that. So I went and I got my concordance. And I looked it up, and lo and behold, the word charge. Go over to Psalm 91 with me. You can look it up yourself. In your Strong's Concordance, it's 6680. And the word is tsava. It means to appoint, to put, to set in order. Thank God for God. I mean, there are times when he's going to save you a lot of hours of study. And I was sitting there meditating. I said, Lord, I know you. I know your character. I know how you lead me. I know there's got to be something here. And I'm just giving my confessions, and he stops me. And I picked up my concordance, and I looked. And so it says this in Psalm 91, down in verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. We could read it this way. For he shall set in order his angels over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So God Almighty, there's a whole array of angelic beings out here that we can't see. And you think you're all by yourself, and God goes about and sets in order the angels, puts them in order. He puts this one where he needs to be, this one where he needs to be, this one where he needs to be, this one. This one contains flour, this one contains sugar, this one contains coffee, and he puts them all in the order they have to be to make your life blessed and fixed. Hallelujah. Now, he did this when he was down and depressed. I tell you what, that's worth the price of admission. Now, we haven't looked at that yet. I'm just giving you the outline. God set in order. It's easy to see angels. The other two, we're not quite clear about. But wait till we... God set in order the ravens. God set in order the widow. And now God's setting in order the angels. And with those three things, those three items in our life, things will be fixed this year. And you say, with a raven, that's what we're starting with this morning, and we'll spend the rest of our time on looking at the raven. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible uses objects and things to be pictures of other things. God is a great picture painter. God is an artist. And God, instead of just saying one thing, will paint a picture so that we can see better. Jesus was a preacher of with pictures. They're called parables. Jesus spoke of parables. And he painted pictures with parables. In fact, let's just look for a second at what Jesus said about the pictures that he painted. Turn with me to Matthew, if you would, please. Chapter 13. He will set in order his angels over thee to keep you in all your ways. And he did it for Elijah. And if he did it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I could go home now and be blessed, but we got more. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So Jesus' disciples are saying, why are you using parables, these other objects, to paint pictures of a truth? And Jesus told him, because it is given to you to know the mysteries. You'll have to understand why Jesus talked in these cloudy terms sometimes. Because the Word of God is for those who will go out and mine the Word. Like a great person that mines gold or mines silver. The Word of God is not just for those who will do a casual skipping over the top of it. Because if you casually skip over the Word and pick this out of it and that, you're going to be more likely to mistreat the Word of God and trample it under feet. Jesus said this, like swine and pearls. The pearls are under the foot of the swine. In other words, these things are precious. You know, you can get a little bit of gold by going to a little stream with your little pan and panning. You can get a little bit. That's like my dad's thing. That's the biggest thing he wants to do in life is to really go and pan for gold, not just something that's set up. We went up into South Dakota one time on our motorcycles and we panned for gold, but it was kind of set up. They dumped stuff in it so you could get some gold. And so we have a little flask with a little flake of gold floating around in the bottom of it. But he wants to do the real thing. Well, you know, you can get certain amounts. You can get some gold. But the person who's going to get the gold are those that go out and dig deep into the earth. It's the same way with the Word. There are denominations that have been started and have lived a long time by just getting a little surface gold off of the top. But the real wealth is when you dig deep. The real wealth. And Jesus wasn't about to just give things to people. Jesus wanted you to show that they were important so that you would dig deep for them. Because it's those truths that you dig deep for, glory to God, that's going to make a change in your life. And it's those things that you dig deep for that's going to give you real bargaining power in life. You know, you can find a guy and he'll have a little different subject, but it's the same thing. When we went through the South, Rachel and I, several years ago, we drove through the South in our motorhome. And we went through the deep South, through Mississippi and through Alabama and through southern Georgia. And there's a lot of cotton being farmed. And you have people who get enough cotton by just going down the road with their pickup and picking up the cotton that has come off the trucks of the big people who do and produce lots and lots of cotton. But as they travel down the road with their trucks, a little cotton comes off the top and sticks to the grass on the side of the roads. And other people get just a little bit by picking up what others have left. Now, those people might be able to get enough to sell, to eat a meal every once in a while, but they're not going to get what is big that's going to give them power in the system, glory to God. They're not going to have enough to sell to have real bargaining power with it. They're not going to influence anything with it. Well, that's the same way. Some churches get that top little surface, but they get really no bargaining power with the things of the Spirit. They're not ever going to cast out a devil. They're never going to curse sickness and disease in somebody's body and have that sickness and disease leave, because you're not going to get that off the surface. You're going to get that by digging down deep. Let me tell you what, we can even just go here. You're not going to find out that God's going to set angels in order for you unless you're digging, trying to dig down deep and have God speak to you. And that's not bragging. That's what everybody in the body of Christ ought to be doing, digging deep, because that's the bargaining power. That's where you can say, Father, this is what your word says. My life is not right. You said you would set these things in order for me. Therefore, you're putting them in order right now. You said in the name of the Lord Jesus that sickness had no right to my body. It has no right. I refuse to give it any right. You're not going to get that by picking up the cotton on the side of the road. You might get enough for a little meal to get you over to the next one, but you're not going to get the power. Praise the Lord. And we're going after the power. And Jesus said, "For who? These are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And it's given to a certain group of people. It's given to those, glory to God, we'll bring it into the New Testament times. It's given to those that have the indwelling spirit on the inside of them, not just anybody. It's given to those who have the word revealed to them because they spend time in the word. The greatest thrill in life, I believe, is when God takes something that is seemingly so muddy, like you're looking in a mud puddle, and you can't see down into the depths of it, and all of a sudden the mud parts and you see the clarity of the water and see what's below the surface. There is a joy that comes like no other. It is a joy that'll wake you up at night and say, I'm not sleepy anymore. When the Lord said, it's the same Hebrew word, I said, that's all I need. I'm not sleepy anymore. '06 ought to be the year we dig deep. Digging deep means turning some things off and not letting them into these portals. Not watching certain things. We can't be loaded with the heavy when all we're getting in is the light in weight. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came this morning. Jesus went on to say, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. In other words, to the person that digs deep and gets a revelation truth, that revelation truth will lead you to more revelation truth. And that the deeper you go, the more you find, the more bargaining power you have with God, the more wealth in the spirit that you have, which allows you to dig deeper. The person who just has a surface, they never have any bargaining power in the spirit, and they just won't be able to go any deeper. They just use what they got. And when it's used up, they don't get any more until they start digging. Hallelujah. Now go back with me to 1 Kings. We just want, God works with pictures. Jesus called them parables. But throughout the Bible, we have types and shadows where one thing painted a picture of something else. And the only way we're going to find that out is to really examine the word and get down under the surface. This is just a raven to us if we just read over it. But God wants us to know something else. This is a picture of something else. It's so exciting. I wish I could just go to the end, but we need to start here and go to the end. Praise the Lord. Let's find out something about ravens.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David Oaks from the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, speaking to you once again. We are going to stop this first sermon at this point and pick up here the next time we're together on our next podcast. Thanks for listening. Glory be unto God. Remember, davidoaksministries.org, davidoaksministries.org. Also, you can contact us by mail by writing David Oaks Ministries, P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, 74006. That address again is David Oaks Ministries, P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, 74006. We praise the Lord for you. Join us again next time for the next podcast. Be blessed.